B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
From the Denver 24, fourth and 10, shotgun snap. Broncos setting the blitz. A throw by Newton to the right. Incomplete with Harry, who was open at the 10-yard line. The ball sailed to the outside as Harry turned to the inside. And the Broncos are going to come away with their second straight win and their first victory here at Gillette since 2006.
I'm not sure if it's on the throw or the route, but it was there. For sure it was there. It's a double middle blitz. Is he expecting him to return out? Is that a return route? It doesn't seem like it is. I might tend to, you know how critical I am of Nikhil. I think I might be putting this on the quarterback. Because the ball's thrown too far to the outside. You're anticipating the blitz and you're going to get hit. And then you got to guess where the receiver is going to be. It's probably one Cam wishes he had back.
One last time for Drew Locke as he takes the right knee in the Denver Broncos.
It's a bad loss. It's a bad loss.
It's hour number three, Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. DraftKings brings you both of those. It's a Monday, so it's a reentry Monday, brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Zoe with the call there. Bad loss, Maz. Who do you blame? Who's first on the list?
For the loss or for that play?
The loss.
I go to Belichick. Because, again, we talked about this earlier. I just think that the whole sort of vibe around the team was, well, we're porked. We couldn't practice. And I think that that comes from the coach. I think that Bill's strength as the head coach of the Patriots is we play through distractions, we play through adversity, we win anyway.
So true. The whole vibe was we couldn't practice, we're short some players, we're screwed.
And we don't even want to be there. And the other thing, too, and Joe,
it's how they carried themselves.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, it was and that James White play really is what sort of brought me there. Because when they didn't challenge that, and again, I'm talking about the White play late where he ran, was ruled to be about a half a yard short of the first down, and replay showed that his knee didn't touch, his elbow didn't touch, he dove past the line, should have been first down, the Patriots didn't challenge. And I as soon as I saw that, I said, you got to be kidding me. You're down 15 points here in the fourth quarter, you're not going to challenge that? I just felt like Belichick kind of threw his arms up at that moment, and it felt to me like, okay, guys, you know, let's just take the loss. We're moving on.
And part of that weird vibe, too, of that it just felt like they didn't even want to be there from the get-go is, did you notice? So the coaches obviously are required to wear masks and face coverings. Some of the players did, too, yesterday. So was that like them being concerned about some of these guys that had got it and they're still worried about getting it? Or
well, that's another thing I did not even notice. When they were playing?
Yeah, no, on the sidelines.
On the sidelines.
Like, I know one of the McCourties, you know, had a mask on at one point. And Joe was talking about this in the postgame. I didn't notice it, and I went back and looked. I was like, so, huh, what was that? Was that, like, are they trying to send a message? Like, I don't know. Like, I know people are going to get mad. Like, you're supposed to be wearing the mask. Well, the players don't have to because they're tested every single day. And so what was that about? Like, are they concerned because the team's riddled with it? They don't want to be there. Like, they don't feel safe in the environment, and we're being forced to play. Like, the whole vibe was weird.
It's
and that starts top down with Belichick.
Interesting, Murray. Absolutely. Like, that's just part of it, part of that whole vibe of the team.
I remember he was pulling plugs on practices.
Yeah, they could have practiced twice more last week, and they didn't.
Right? So it's not like they were league-mandated shutdowns.
No, they could have practiced Wednesday and didn't, and then he sent them home Friday.
Correct.
And didn't have to. I think, right?
Yes, I think that's right. Yep, that's right. And again, I think I said this to you off the air at one point last week. I said, don't you think, like, Bill doing that, you know, we have the right to, but we're not going to. Just because we're getting screwed, so I want to make sure everyone knows we're getting screwed.
Yeah, and the way that he carried himself in the postgame, too, was, I just thought so telling, because everything was, well, we couldn't practice. How can we practice? We weren't able to practice. Of course there was going to be rust, because it was practice, lack of practice. So who are you mad at? You're mad at the league? Just say you're mad at the league.
It's a very subtle tantrum.
Yeah
it is, yeah.
No, you may just play in Kansas City, you would give us a bigger locker room, fine. You're going to see what it's going to look like then. We're going to practice. We're going to practice on Friday. Let's see how it looks on Sunday. See, that's what you wanted, huh? Like, that just sort of that, like, I think that's the way he works. He can be quite the baby when he doesn't get what, you know, what he wants. And maybe it's also a little bit of karma, because they certainly got what they wanted the week before. They got that game postponed when they weren't going to be with Cam Newton and they weren't going to be with Stephon Gilmore. So they got it pushed back a week, get their starting quarterback and best defensive player back. They had another outbreak, and they pushed forward with the game. Hmm. So maybe they thought they were, you know, they sort of managed that to their advantage, and karma. Karma bit them in the ass. They still end up losing the game. So who do you blame? I start with Belichick, too. Greg Bedard, our buddy, Boston Sports Journal, he'll be in tomorrow. He blamed Belichick, the GM. Bedard writes on Boston Sports Journal yesterday's game. It was pathetic. It was inexcusable. It was ugly. And it was on Cam Newton and the offense. He says it makes you feel like they are headed for the same pathetic ending as last season or worse. And why? He says because Bill Belichick put them there. What was the problem last year, writes Bedard? The defense was great for long stretches of the season, but it got worn out at the end because the offense and their lack of real weapons couldn't beat man coverage, stay on the field, or score enough points. It was so frustrating, Tom Brady packed up and relocated because he knew Bill Belichick wouldn't improve the offense. Brady knew Belichick's offensive philosophy would again be, well, Tom and Josh will figure it out while I keep the defense well-stocked. Brady was right, says Bedard. Belichick didn't do anything. Sure, things looked pretty promising through the first two games. Newton helped to run over the Dolphins in the opener. Then his arm shredded what we know is a terrible Seahawks secondary. Then things started to change against the Raiders. This was bound to happen, says Bedard. Newton in the Patriots offense was a completely foreign concept early in the season to other defensive coordinators. Now they were no longer a secret when the Raiders came in, who aren't even that good on defense. Newton was awful in that game as they made him a pocket passer, and now other teams are following suit. And Denver did run blitz the crap out of the Patriots yesterday.
Totally. A lot of guys up there. A lot of guys. And the other thing, too, that he said is right. They played man. They played a lot of man.
So they devoted extra guys to the run. They blitzed Newton and blitzed the run, leaving man-on-man coverage with the Patriots pass catchers, and the pass catchers couldn't get open.
Correct.
And that's what happened last year.
Yep.
So Bedard says it's just a repeat of last year, different quarterback.
I mean, he's not far off. Let's see how it shakes out over the longer term, right? So, I don't think the Patriots are cooked yet. And I know people are reacting that way, and I don't blame them. I mean, it was that kind of performance. You know, again, so you don't see, as a fan, you turn on the TV and you expect to see the product. End of story. I think it's too early to do that. I want to see what it looks like if they can get a full week back in and, you know, see if they get any better. But it better show up soon.
So, you know, again, I got to go watch the All 22 or something. It's hard to tell on the TV copy. Whether guys were open or plays were there to be made is what I'm trying to say. Because when Newton's holding and tapping the ball and taking shots, you know, taking sacks and whatnot, you've got to think everyone's covered. On that last play, the play was there.
It was.
The play was absolutely there. The Denver sent both safeties, but they blocked it enough for Newton to find the guy. Harry was open. It was one-on-one coverage. He was open, and Newton couldn't get him the ball. So, again, was he expecting more of an outcut versus a comeback or what? Either way, that play was there to be made. They could have made it.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you, my first instinct was Newton made a bad throw. Then I've seen images and video of it, and it looks to me like, and I heard Newton make a comment about the leverage of the defense on the play. And when you look at the stills, the leverage was on the inside, which means Harry is supposed to go to the outside. So, but again, I'm not confident that either one of them got it right.
Oh, and Harry fell down, too.
I mean, like, at the,
you know what I would do with Harry? As opposed to saying, if it's inside leverage, go out, or if it's outside leverage, go in.
Just go where you're supposed to go.
Square out 7 yards. Tell him what to do. Don't make him think.
Right.
You know, just do, here, flag, post, out. In, slant, button hook, like we do in the backyard.
I thought they should have done that when Brady was here. Simplify the thing.
Stop reading the defense. You can't do it. Just button hook. Well, you know, I know that sounds stupid, but it's like if the kid can't figure it out, you got to simplify it for it somehow or put someone else in there. But that play was definitely there. And they, you know, so that's it in a nutshell. I mean, to me, you know me, like I want to go to the personnel last. To me, it's about coaching and scheme and all of that, because it wasn't a talent thing. I mean, again, Harry was open there. So how come they didn't complete it? Timing or something else? So, like, he was open enough on that play. And also, Newton taking the sack two plays before killed him. 3rd and 16. Killed that drive. So, anyway, there's your little reset there at 4 o'clock. Your thoughts here. Steven Newton, what do you got?
Yeah, several things on Coach Bill. First of all, Mike and Tony, the rejection of the hold of the hands to the face, Mike, that's 10 yards.
Yeah, it is 10.
That caught Okay? It cost them 3 points. That's the ball game. The 2 points don't become an issue later on. Pitchers are driving for the winning field goal, 16-15, they win. That's number one. Number two, in terms of his lethargy, he inactivated J.J. Taylor. Now, J.J. Taylor provided a spark in the Oakland game. They had nobody to go to for a spark. Third point brought up by Ted Johnson in the post game was the Patriots took a penalty, took a timeout, 4th-and-1 Denver. Johnson went ballistic on the post game show saying that's exactly the kind of thing that the Patriots would pull on others.
So, let me stop you there. Murray mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, because that was one that I was like, you just got outfoxed by Vic Fangio.
Ay, ay, ay.
Come on, dude. Like, that's where I felt like he's asleep at the wheel today.
So that one, absolutely, that's where they came out on 4th-and-1, and you said, are they going to go for this? And they brought in a third tight end? And so Bill had to call timeout because he didn't have the personnel, or he got faked into thinking they were actually going to go for it or whatever. It cost him one of those timeouts. So there's another one added to the list, asleep at the wheel. And so this thing, this vibe of the team that the league screwed us. We didn't have practice time. We lost some guys because of this nonsense. We don't want to be here. That's how they carried themselves. That's the way Bill carried himself. It's the way Bill carried himself. And that, again, that illegal hands to the face. I said earlier, I couldn't remember whether it was a 5 or 10 yard penalty. It is 10. So it's, you stop them on 3rd-and-4, and they get an illegal hands to the face penalty. So it would have been 3rd-and-14 at the 46. Okay, definitely not field goal range, but 3rd-and-14. And so you're just betting you can stop them on 3rd-and-14 or keep them in deeper field goal range. And instead, you just decline it and let McManus kick from 54 yards.
And he nails it.
That is like, what a given that is.
I know. Again, I was surprised by that. And of all the stuff that went sideways in that game, you know, again, I told you, I still, the James White thing blows me out of the water. The fact that they did not challenge the spot on that play to keep possession of the ball. But then the other one, since when did the Patriots give up points? Like, what, all of a sudden you got Tom Brady on the sideline? You're going to march right down the field?
Unbelievable.
It's stunning. Stunning. And I think Bill's whole vibe going into the thing with canceling practices. No, we're not going to practice. Safety first. Right, and I'm not criticizing the protection of the players, and I'm just saying that it's so unlike him to kind of throw his hands up in the air like that.
So the story of the last 2 weeks was the COVID thing and not the Broncos. That's all. So maybe that's what it should be, and that's what the priority should be, but that doesn't sound like Bill to me.
No, this is a guy who typically does not let distractions get in the way of his football team, and this week he did.
All right, we continue with your reaction to it right after these words.
Sports, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How much did the limited amount of fully padded practice time you've had in recent weeks do you feel had on today's game?
I don't know. What do you want, a percentage? I have no idea.
What a baby. The real answer for Bill is none, zero.
That's right. Don't worry about a percentage of that.
We only worry about the things we can control, not the things we can't.
That's a percentage?
Put a percentage on that? But in this case, he let that outside distraction consume his team.
See, it's days like yesterday, and I know I joke about this all the time, okay? But it is days like yesterday where you're watching that after the game and you're going, William Richard Belichick, his friends call him Dick. Seriously. Like, you know, as if somehow these questions are out of bounds or they're not, you know, appropriate for the circumstance. He gets more wind blown up his skirt when they win about how great he is. Last week, we turned him into Florence Nightingale in this town, for crying out loud. All of a sudden, it was Bill Belichick, the master healer, touching people's foreheads and curing them. The whole thing, protecting his players. But then he gets in front of the mic after a bad loss and his team's ill-prepared. And I'm sure he's been crying behind the scenes about how the league has screwed him over the whole nine yards. And I think it seeped into his locker room. I think his players, woe is us. I think that's what they took onto the field yesterday. They totally did.
That's how they carried themselves. Okay, back to your thoughts on everything. Rifle through these calls. Travis in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Travis.
Yeah, I just think that a lot of these missed calls and all these weird anomalies that are happening is because he's paying too much attention to what his kids are doing. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think he trusts anybody on that coaching staff. And he might be stressing himself a little thin.
Well, Travis, I don't know what it is, but between look, in Seattle, they left a play on the table or the cutting room floor, however you want to phrase that. They could have had one more play down there inside the red zone, and the way they managed their timeouts there, they didn't get it. They could have used an extra play. And because Bill didn't call the timeout in that situation, they lost a play. Okay, so they mismanaged that clock situation. The Brian Hoyer thing is really self-explanatory, and you really do have to blame Hoyer, but let's just add it to the list. Their quarterback lost track of timeouts with points on the board, you know, in the red zone. And then yesterday, they're not challenging. Like, there's a little, you know, list of things here that are sort of adding up that, you know, may not even be his responsibility. Maybe they're Ernie's. He keeps track of the timeouts, or he determines when to use the timeout versus the clock, or someone else is certainly in charge of looking at replays and telling him to throw the flag or not. But either way, the operation is off.
Agreed.
Okay, so whether it's Bill or his staff, it all goes back to Bill. He's the CEO, so you blame him. You credit him when it works, you blame him when it doesn't, and it's not working.
Well, and to your point, too, that the end of the Seattle game and the end of the Kansas City game, or the end of the Kansas City half, were inconsistent.
Definitely.
So on the one hand, they saved the timeout in the Seattle game, but in the Kansas City game, they burned it.
That's right. Exactly right. I said that at the time. I said, this is not how you handled Seattle. You said it afterwards that you let the clock run late in Seattle and kept that timeout because what if something goes wrong? Then you get to Kansas City with a guy that hasn't played quarterback for you hardly ever, you know, in a real game, and you let him burn all three timeouts and then allow for something to happen. Like, it wasn't the same approach.
Yeah, I mean, I blame Hoyer at the end of the day, and maybe that's his answer, too. Maybe he'll blame Hoyer, too. But they've been all over the map. But yesterday was the worst.
Oh, he blamed Hoyer, all right. Because let's just bring this up now. You know who the backup quarterback was yesterday.
Yep.
And who was in street clothes.
Yep.
So that nonsense in Kansas City cost Hoyer his job. It looks like I'm not going to get my take reckoning on Brian Hoyer.
You will not. No.
Stid the kid, now number two on the depth chart. Woof. Think of that. You could play like Stidham did in Kansas City. You could suck that bad and move up the depth chart in New England.
When the big boy is in tomorrow, he'll have more on it because it felt like he had some intel there in the post game yesterday and that he had talked to someone on the team. And the team was not happy about that Hoyer performance in Kansas City.
So we'll have to bait him into that one. I'll bring some munchkins in.
Those Hoyer plays, deal breakers. I don't blame him.
You just can't
do that.
I'm surprised he still has a job.
Let me bring up one more since we're on it. So maybe we'll never see Brian Hoyer in a Patriots uniform again. You know who I think you'll never see in a Patriots uniform again, too? Sony Michel.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I think he's done. Just a guess. Who knows? But this guy, so he gets put on IR, means you're out for 3 weeks. Then he gets COVID. So he, you know, they put several guys on the COVID list at the end of the week. Some were just close contacts. He was reported to be an actual positive. Okay. He hasn't been in the facility in how long? 2-3 weeks?
Weeks, yeah.
So he wasn't part of the Kansas City thing. If you want to blame Kansas City or blame the locker room or whatever, or blame Goodell, he wasn't a part of that. He was gone by then. He was already hurt by then. He wasn't in the building, right?
Correct. Yeah, he didn't make the trip.
He didn't go to Kansas City.
No.
So he's not a close contact, not to Kansas City. It's pretty much a given, a fact, that he got it off campus. Like, I think most of these guys are getting it off campus, is what I think. Just my personal opinion, based on nothing other than a personal opinion and the odds of the thing and some anecdotal evidence. I think most of them are getting it off campus. But I think in Sony Michel's case, there's no other way he could have gotten it. He wasn't with the team.
Right.
So it had to be off campus. What's he been doing the last couple of weeks?
Cursory search of both Instagram and Twitter. You might find things.
I mean,
that's all.
So who knows? You know, Chris Gasper came in last week, said you can get it walking the dog. So these Patriots players must have a heck of a lot of dog walking going on. Everybody, why don't you hire a dog walking service and stay home? Just a thought, you know, since they're all getting it walking the dog. Or is that just a euphemism for what? You know, walking the dog. Who knows? But if you're walking the dog and getting COVID, why don't you hire one of those services and have someone else walk your dog? Sony Michel. Like, not like the guys bathed themselves in glory here anywhere. Anyway, sort of felt like he teetering anyway as a guy on the roster. He gets put on IR, and then what? And then what? And then what are you doing?
And I think the mere fact that he got put on IR told you plenty. He had a quad injury.
I mean, Jesus.
I think it was a quad contusion or something, wasn't it? It wasn't like he pulled a quad. It was like a quad bruise.
What a freaking bust.
They put him on IR so they could play Harris.
That is bust city.
Big time.
First round pick for that. And all you got out of it was a little bit of a hot streak, you know, in the playoffs where, I'm sorry, he was good in that Super Bowl year, but there's about 200 running backs on the planet who could do what he did in that situation.
Oh, that was about the line. Please. Their line play was awesome at the end of that year.
What a freaking bust. And then, you know, it feels like sort of last chance territory for the guy. Last year to prove himself, carve out a role, gets put on the IR with a quad. That's right, a quad. And then what? During his time on IR, decides to spend his time how? Dog walking? So it's like, see ya, pal. That's it.
In Providence, no less.
That is a bust. Sony Michel. Maybe he comes back. Who knows? Weird year. Maybe he will be back. But I'm sorry. It's hard to excuse that one.
Walking the dog, a euphemism. I like that. Yeah, ma. What time we having dinner? I got to go up to my room and walk the dog.
Okay. Here comes Murray's update. And then we're right back with more of your thoughts. Again, the Bradyites, really good day for you. Score a couple of big wins over the Belichick crew, over the Aaron Rodgers crew. Why don't you come out and bless somebody? Why don't you come out and stick it out a little bit? Why don't you walk the dog a little bit on Brady down there in Tampa? It is a reentry Monday. It is brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep, maybe you are looking to finance a home mortgage, a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Whatever it is, visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray with the latest, including news on potential penalties for the Tennessee Titans.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the snap on third and six. Lob pass toward the end zone. Gronkowski, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. What a great grab by Gronk. Holy guacamole. The box score, a touchdown with a minute two to go.
Sounds a great play. Vintage, really. Brady Gronkowski, third down. Brady, a couple big third down plays in that ball game. The story of the game, if you know, Tampa Packers, was really more Rodgers melting down and the panic sandwich that Rodgers became after the pick six. But Brady did have a couple of great balls, and he had a very good afternoon. But the key plays, he hit a rookie receiver on third down in the red zone.
See him step up in the pocket, too. I loved that play.
Great play. And looked to a rookie and made a big play with him and, you know, had to have it there. And then the Gronkowski play right there. So Brady was Brady when he had to be. How about Gronkowski? Talk about not seeing that coming.
Resurrection.
I didn't think he had that in him anymore. I really didn't.
Me neither.
Is it possible he was just rusty and he's knocking off the rust and that's
sure.
His preseason and et
cetera? Sure, it's possible. Yeah, entirely possible that everything I said about him was 100% inaccurate. I mean, and you talk about the touchdown play, which was a back shoulder throw. There was a beautiful play. As you said, vintage, classic. There was another one he threw to Gronk where Gronk ran this little out to the sideline and Brady dropped it in between three defenders.
Perfect.
What a play. I mean, it was like, and they looked in sync. Like, the whole thing looked right. Well, Gronk was moving better.
So, you know, the Packers, like teams used to, stupid teams, covering them with linebackers. It's like, but maybe Gronk was so cashed and looked so bad that you should cover him with linebackers now. But if he's right, you don't put linebackers on him.
No.
Like, that's just ridiculous.
He looked faster in this game, for whatever it's worth. He looked more fluid and, you know, he was a factor.
So the big fella finally coming around. Rob Gronkowski to Tampa Bay. Is the DN Van Lines move around the league in sports? Making moves are tough decisions. When moving your home or business, the decision is simple. Go with my mover, my official mover, DN Van Lines, dnvanlines.com, or call them at 1-800-51-MOVER. Moves around the league. Tom Brady, meanwhile, got a clean game from his team. No penalties, no sacks, no turnovers. That's called the anti-Bruce Arians special right there.
I mean, to me, that was the story of the game.
Oh, no doubt.
Zero mistakes by Tampa.
Clean game. So Brady post-game talked about that. It's kind of easier to play that way, right, Tommy?
It was good. You know, I think not turning the ball over helped a lot. Not being behind on down and distance helped a lot. but certainly better things that we can do, things better than what we did today, and we're going to keep working at it.
Okay, so let's see about that. I want to see how Tampa responds on the road with success. They've been a bad road team, and Bruce Arians, again, has some success, probably through a Roman orgy last night, knowing him. If you booze when you lose, what happens when you win a game like that?
Well, you take your pants off. So, that's what happens.
But if Arians is just the kind of coach to let the guys get a little bit ahead of themselves. No, Brady's not. Brady's looking ahead to, you know, the next game. But the next game is Sunday Night Football, national TV in Vegas. Would be just like the old Buccaneers to go there and totally give back what they gained yesterday.
See, lose by 10, be a sloppy mess.
Well, right, and this is the week where you need a coach. After the Chicago game's easy, right? You play, you make all these mistakes, you get extra time on top of it. Like, you've got a week to dwell on it. More, 10 days. So, like, everybody should be locked in by the time you get to game time. But this one, hey, we're back! Woo-hoo-hoo!
Right?
Who's getting the hookers?
It's that,
like,
kind of thing.
Totally. Like, you know, that's they totally, it turns into a complete bachelor party.
A lot of dog walking down in Tampa this week. Eddie in Rhode Island jumped on right here on this topic. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, this is a double blah day. Tom Brady and the worst team in the NFL, Tampa Bay, made Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay cap out with 7 minutes left in the game. And in the same day, Patriots start their last worst record since Tom Brady's first year. Blah, blah.
It's a double blind for the Brady crew today. Double blind. If you care about the Rodgers thing, I mean, that's really a secondary piece, but it's yours. It's on the table for you. Double blind. The big one is, it looks like the coach is in decline all of a sudden. And Brady's, you know, again, this is this snapshot. A couple weeks ago, it was the opposite way. But today, it looks like the coach is in decline and the quarterback's ready to go on a run. A couple weeks ago, or even just a week ago, the quarterback couldn't count to four. And it's like, well, what's going on there? So it's just changed week to week. I wonder when it's going to settle into a set storyline. I hope it keeps going back and forth.
Oh, no, back and forth is better. But the Patriots yesterday, to me, looked like a team that, you know, felt sorry for itself. That's what they look like. Like, you know, oh, we've been screwed. We had to fly to Kansas City. More guys got sick. Now we haven't been able to practice. Now your game got postponed.
And they
we still aren't able to practice. Now we have to play.
And it felt like they were crippled by it, affected by it, where you thought Bill would be the last coach and this would be the last team that allow that to, you know, climb into their head and affect them the way it affected them.
Yeah, what was us?
I mean, geez Louise. That's how it felt. And meanwhile, Brady's slinging it all over the place. So that's today. Double blind for the Brady crew. Nick and Dedham. Nick, what do you got?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I wanted to talk about the receivers and overall just all the skill position players. I don't know if you saw Tom Curran and Matt Castle were talking about yesterday how analytically they're this like slowest team in the league. And there's just been so many like speed guys that have gone right by them. Deebo Samuel, they had interest in that kid James Prochet. The Ravens took him, Devin Duvernay. So I just want to get your thoughts on how do they address that through the draft, free agency, or whatever.
Okay, so
I don't want them drafted anymore, guys. That suck. They have one guy that's fast, Isaiah Zuber. That's it. That their skill positions, using air quotes there, they all suck, and the tight ends are awful.
Seriously, though. Even when they catch the ball, it ends up being a bad play.
That Izzo fumble was atrocious.
Unbelievable,
like,
killer.
On, dude, you just made a play.
Another killer. Got him over midfield, right?
I mean, finally you make a play. Finally you stretch the field a little bit and you give a little something and you can't hang on to the ball. Jesus, that was horrible.
Oh, God, brutal. And you're not getting any plays from those guys. Guy finally catches it and then spits it up right there. He pukes it up, a fur ball right on the carpet.
Todd in Plymouth on the last play. Who do you blame?
What's up, guys? Maz, first of all, my fiance Lindsay loves you, buddy. So, Felger, I got one
smart
question
woman.
And one comment. Like,
go ahead.
She's a smart. Felger, I got a comment and a question for you, bud, all three of you guys. So, at the end of the game, you can blame Belichick all you want, but we were in position to win the game. And the quarterback threw a dud to a wide-open receiver. My question is this. Do you guys think if either other quarterback that was sitting on the sidelines would have won that game yesterday if the defense played pretty well and didn't let up one touchdown?
So they couldn't have been.
I'll tell you what, after the second interception by Cam Newton, I tweeted at the time, it felt at the time, because the game felt like it was, you know, it was over. Jared Stidham, put Stidham in. Let's, at this point, this game's over. Let's see what you got, because this is a wash.
You were calling for Stid the kid?
Yeah, because Cam Newton was costing them the game at that point.
I was trying to figure out how to phrase it. Like, I was going to say, well, they couldn't have been any worse, but the fact is they could definitely have been worse. they could definitely have been worse. Hoyer wasn't even in uniform, so Stidham could have been worse.
Maybe you got a spark there, because that Denver team is not good. Newton's mechanics were off.
Okay, but what did Stidham do on the final play? So that's what he mentioned, the final play.
I'll tell you exactly what would have happened.
Crapped his pants. They sent both safeties. He would have dropped a load right there behind the center.
Yeah, Stidham would have overthrown him by 10 yards, and Hoyer wouldn't have gotten a snap off in time. Like, that's what would have happened. Neither one of them would have made the play. Let's not delude ourselves.
Still a lot of unknown there with that kid. I would like to have seen.
Why were you in a position to win the game?
Because Denver was stupid.
Because Vic Fangio exists on this.
Vic Fangio.
Because Vic Fangio exists in this league and on this planet. I after the way Denver played the end of that game, I think Vic Fangio should be fired from football. Not just the Broncos, but the league should step in and fire him from the sport. You are no longer allowed to participate in any sort of role of authority in this sport. You can't do what he did.
The second one was unbelievable. I mean, really, like, the first one's bad enough. Okay, the first one's bad enough. You're going to let them back in by turning the ball over. Okay. Like, go ahead if you want. The second one?
First play.
They threw picks on consecutive plays, leading 18-3.
And the Pats having already burned a timeout and the clock ticking. I mean, let's really be honest about why you were even in a position to be in that game. It's because Vic Fangio handed it to you.
They should have lost that game like 27-3.
Long commercial free segment is next.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Was there a thought of challenging the spot early in the fourth quarter on James White's 2-yard run?
No, not really.
Did you get a second look at that run?
I just answered the question, Doug.
Okay.
So he technically answered it, but I couldn't understand a word he said. Did you ever think of challenging the James White spot in the fourth quarter?
I was best for the team.
No, not really.
That's
me at my most stoned when I'm like absorbed in the couch. Hey, Jim, you feel like doing something? No, not really.
It reminds me of that comment he was asked about Gronk once or something. I think it was Gronk.
Was it on the injury report?
Yeah.
He was on the injury report, was he?
Remember that play with James White? Do you wish that you challenged that? No, not really.
Yeah, but ask him about the absence of practice time. He'll talk your nose right off your face.
Well, we weren't able to practice because the league didn't let us practice. And the practice we did, we need practice. What a baby. We lost this game because of practice.
How was it asked again, Jimmy? Go ahead.
That's all right.
Was there a thought of challenging the spot early in the fourth quarter on James White's 2-yard run?
No, not really.
What the hell? And then you
did you get a second look at that run?
I just answered the question, Doug.
No, so that I understand. Yeah, I just answered. You're not allowed to ask him follow-ups. That's against the rules.
No, not really.
So, let
me fart in your face.
What a baby. So then it was filed up today on the conference call. Mike Reese asked him, long question, sort of ending with, which is what the follow-up was just there, which is, did you get a second opinion on it, right? Because it's usually not the head coach's decision. He gets the word in the headset from the guys in the booth who've looked at the replay. So Reese asked him a question today about, again, not challenging that play, and is he confident and happy with the operation that he has with the guy in the booth and the replay apparatus, all of that? Are you pleased with your internal operation on challenging those plays? And here was Bill's answer today. It was a little more expansive.
We don't have unlimited challenges.
No, that was just part of it.
I do. I feel that's, it's nice to be able to, sit up there and watch replay after replay and, have unlimited challenges. But that's just not the way it is. So, we don't have unlimited challenges. And, and we challenged the touchdown, the quarterback sneak on the touchdown. So we thought that was enough to overturn it. You know, there's a lot of close plays out there. You know, if you challenge all of them, then you run out of timeouts and run out of challenges and everything else. So you have to pick out the ones that you think are the right ones. And certainly an unscientific process, but I feel like we take the information and do the best we can. I'm sure it could be done better. I'm sure there's other people could manage it better, but we'll just do the best that we can.
That last part. Oh, you martyr.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What a martyr.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, I'm sure there's other people who could do it better and are doing it better.
Yeah, it's his way of saying, would you rather have someone else coach on your team?
God, what a martyr. You missed it, Bill. You missed it. It'd be nice to have all the time in the world to look at all the replays you can, and you only have so many timeouts or you have so many challenges. It's a fourth quarter, dude. It's a fourth quarter, and it was a possession play. You punted. So you had two challenges at that time. Yes, you challenged the Newton dive for the touchdown after the fact. Okay, but by the time they spotted the James White play, you had both challenges. It's the fourth quarter, and you're down 15 points. So what if not there, when?
Yeah, you got me. I don't know. I was surprised by that one, too. I thought he just kind of threw his hands up at that moment and said, we're going to lose anyway. So we're not going to win this game no matter what, so why challenge it?
Your guys were asleep at the switch, which your whole team was, okay, distracted by the lack of practice time or the COVID situation, and it crept into your whole operation.
Good. Distracted by self-pity.
Including your coaches or whatever, or, you know, Maz's point, just your whole conveyance yesterday was, let's get the hell out of here. And so that's what that is. Yeah, okay, it's a bad spot, but whatever. We're not going to pick it up anyway. We're losing this game. Let's kick it. Let's get the hell out of here. And that sort of felt how he managed the whole thing.
I mean, definitely, again, between that and giving up the 3 points on the when they could have taken a penalty and pushed Denver back, instead they declined, and McManus kicked a 54-yarder, I think it was. So that one too, but the white play was the worst.
Took them too long to go hurry up. They could have absolutely gone with more tempo earlier in that game. They did not. Took them too long to start running Cam Newton.
Totally on
which
that one.
They do when they need it, when they got to have it.
They were way late on that.
Week one, Miami got to come out of the gate strong. Newton's running all over the place. You know, got to have it play. And late when they needed it, he's running all over the place. So where was it early in the game? There was just sort of a lack of urgency or focus. They weren't on it. They weren't on it. And why? So the only thing I can come up with is that they got distracted by self-pity and the COVID thing, and, well, they didn't let us practice. I may as well go to Kansas City, so screw it. That's what it's going to look like. It's like, oh, come on, man.
I mean, I think that's what it was with Bill. I do, because I think they took practice away from him. And so, and I say they. He pulled the plug on some of those practices. Now, again, maybe, you know, maybe he would look like an a-hole if he did that. Okay, but even so, I just think part of his vibe there is – all right, fine. So this is how we're going to do it. Now we're going to go week to week. You're going to put us on a plane last minute. And now you're going to tell us that at the last minute, this is all over the place. You know what? We're pulling the plug on practice. We're not going to practice. Well, no, we're good. We'll play by your rules. Fine. Like, it felt like that to me. Like, if he can't control it, F you, fine. I'm not going to practice.
Are the Pats done? We'll answer that question after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.